Step right up, step high up, and see the human lady. She sings, she dances, she watches the television. Step on over this way and see the man with no talent, direct from Cleveland, Ohio. Just one small nickel for a beast. If you die in boredom, we'll refund your money. See the half beagle, half Pomeranian. Just step right up.
Louvre, Paris, 10:46 p.m. Renowned curator Art Attack staggers through the vaulted archway of the museum's grand gallery. He lunges for the nearest painting, a Caravaggio. Grabbing the gilded frame, the 76-year-old man heaves the masterpiece toward himself until it tears from the wall. Then, he collapses backward in a heap beneath the canvas. Meanwhile, in a completely different story, 35-year-old Dr. Ned Schimmelfinney hunches over a stack of dusty books in his parents' basement, searching for clues.
When a fox is in a bottle, where the Tweedle Beetles battle, Tweedle Beetles, a bottle, yes, yes, the missing piece of the key, Gobbo, come here.
What is it, Dr. Schimmelfinney?
I figured it out, Gobbo.
Don't tell me you're still obsessing over that Dr. Seuss conspiracy myth.
The Geisel Code? It's not a myth, and I figured out the key to locating the missing treasure.
There is no treasure.
Right you are. It's so much bigger than that. Theodore Geisel, Dr. Seuss, was in deep. That's why he hid his clues in his books. Tell me, Gobbo, do you know how Dr. Seuss was killed?
Throat cancer.
True, but who are the primary victims of throat cancer?
People who smoke and people who chew tobacco.
Wrong, in every important respect.
It's actually right.
Beside the point, look beyond the obvious, Gobbo. Bottles. People who put Tweedle Beetles in bottles. Don't you see? It's genius!
What's a Tweedle Beetle?
They're a menace. The scourge of the British Isles. Nearly ended the British invasion before it began. When Tweedle Beetles fight, it's a Tweedle Beetle battle.
They fight?
With paddles in a puddle. Why didn't I see it?
Ned, honey, who are you talking to?
Gobo, of course. My research assistant. He's standing right behind you.
Is he talking about that creepy mannequin again?
Mom, Dad, please. I have important things to do. You think any other doctor allows their parents to interrupt them? Receptionist, please show these people out.
You're not a doctor. You are a librarian.
Ned, dear, your father and I just want you to know. Sweetie, you're such a crushing disappointment to us.
Honey, please, let me handle this. What your mother means to say is, if you really want us to leave you alone, then that's cool, because we don't even like you that much. You're seriously weird.
Ah, nonsense. I've at last pieced together all the clues Dr. Seuss left behind in his books. They lead to a great treasure, and warn of a secret evil organization that seeks said treasure to use it for its own evil purpose.
Not this again.
At least it's better than when he took Sesame Street characters' problems too seriously. Remember when he tried to write Aloysius Snuffleupagus a prescription for Prozac?
Let's leave. He makes me want to vomit.
We're going to New York for a month with our furniture. We left you a can of peas and a $5 bill on the counter. Love you. Bye.
Well, Gobo, looks like we gave them the slip. Now let's make like a fetus and head out.
To where?
To the beach, of course. That's where the treasure is.
How do you figure that?
A rather ingenious clue. You see, the same five letters appear in every Dr. Seuss book. Rearrange them and you get beach.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You could probably spell hundreds of different words if you did that. And besides, there are thousands of beaches on Earth. How do you know which one?
To the beach. The treasure awaits.
Whatever, weirdo.
With his faithful mannequin in tow, the tenacious Dr. Schimmelfinney arrives at the beach sometime later, but not before having stopped for a snack.
Don't you get it? We got a sandwich at a Shell station. You must be on the right track. Don't you see? It's brilliant. One fish, two fish, seven Lady Godivas, 30 tigers, 500 hats? That's 540. Added together, 5, 4, and 0 are 9. And here it is. Parking section 9.
Building model planes. That would be a normal hobby.
Look at that. A shoe on the roof of that bathroom.
Now that's just silly.
Silly. A synonym for wacky. That's it. Well done, Gobo. Quick, what time is it?
Let me check my... Oh, I don't have a watch. I'm just a naked mannequin. So, thanks for that.
Green eggs and ham. Look at the sky. The sun is coming up.
Yeah. It's gotta be almost noon. The sun's been coming up for the last few hours.
Up? Ah, a great day for up. Look up, Gobo. What can you see?
Branches?
Past that.
Clouds?
No, past that.
The sky?
What can you see past all that?
You can't actually see anything past that from here.
Outer space. Don't you see?
Let's pretend I don't.
Wacky, silly, up, outer space. Silly people from outer space. These silly people from outer space. I think I know where to find the last clue. The Vatican.
Okay, wait, what?
No, not the Vatican. I'm at the bar, on Mulberry Street, Thidwick's. Quick, to the mobile. We haven't one moment to lose.
Sometime later, and after a bunch of other stuff happens, the intrepid Dr. Ned Schimmelfinney, who is a totally real doctor and not a real-life librarian, finally comes face to face with the maniacal and hitherto unknown, as he had no proper introduction by whoever wrote this script, Dr. Wembley Noodleman, or perhaps Nuddleman, there's no pronunciation key either.
So, at last, you finally found me already for the first time again!
What?
You have no doubt come with the intent of engaging my battle Tweedle Beetles in a paddle-paddle battle. But there's one thing you didn't count on, my good doctor. Behold, my henchmen, Sidebottom and Boober.
And am I Boober? I'm, one of them.
Aren't they fabulous?
You're right. I didn't count on you having fabulous henchmen, Noodleman. Oh no.
Oh, it's not the henchmen you need to fear. Sidebottom, Boober, release the hound.
Poodle, eating noodles. Well, that could only mean...
That's right, Doctor! A muddle puddle tweedle poodle beetle noodle battle paddle battle!
So it all comes down to this. I always knew a noodle battle would play a part, but I never counted on a poodle. Now it all makes sense, but what you didn't count on was my manic panic harlequin pingolin mannequin pants again.
Enough! I'll do the rhyming here! Boober and Sidebottom too! I've got an awful job for you! This divil wart is as thick as toast! Serve him a snapple-doodle roast!
What?
Come now, be quick, you foodle dorts! This yapping quail awards his sports! My plan requires a bootscarf, so I can toot his gross blurf.
You wanna what? His what?
Ugh. Enough, enough! Here's my plan, sir! Listen quickly if you can, sir. A little bit of middle starter, gently dipped in a brittle butter.
I have no idea what you're saying. Are you guys understanding any of this?
Not a word.
Gibberish at best.
How dare you claim my rhymes don't work? You fertile wiggles are total jerks.
Hey, come on now.
Is this what I sound like? Wow, no wonder people don't like me. All right, enough already. Give up, Noodleman.
Now tell me, how do you wish to die? While wearing a tie or eating a pie? In March or in July? Down low or up high? I have 10 seconds for you to decide.
Oh, come on. That was a stretch, even for you.
I'm out. Let's bounce.
Oh, now see, you even weirded out your own henchmen. And as for me, I've had enough. No treasure here. I call your bluff. I want a life, so I'll depart. And I leave you to your works of art.
Alas, it's true. My rhymes all sneak. My powers rest with pen and ink. Your plans sound good, I must agree. My pen, your words, maybe.
Hey, we could make a children's book. Your drawings could create the look. As for me, I'd pen the words.
A matching pair of gifted nerds.
So Gaxel's code was just to say,
get up, get out, and seize the day.
As his own story reached its end, its final line was spoke, not penned. He whispered as his eyes grew dim. Pass on the joy we got from him.
And so Dr. Ned Schimmelfinney finally cracked the Geisel code, and he went on to bear many children. Actually, he found a wife to do that part, and she was as real as his degree in medicine and his assistant Gobo. And he went on to write many books, which actually were real, and to move out of his parents' basement into a two-story townhouse that Kevin sold him, conveniently on the bus line in a historic area close to shopping, dining, and parks. And he and his mannequin and his new fish and a bunch of stuffed animals he bought for no real reason lived happily ever after. That is, until he got bored and set out on another harebrained adventure. And oh, the places he went. The end. Or is it? No, it's the end.
Epic Coffee sued by local women's groups for being too masculine. Several females have reported lifting weights, watching football, and being generally meat-headed after imbibing the bombastic beverage. Epic Coffee CEO Man Manley opined, "Women weak, coffee strong," before shattering a coffee table over his head. Free anger management classes have been offered to those affected. In related news, local barbershop chapters are grateful for women who can now sing bass.
One need not be a chamber to be haunted. One need not be a house. The brain has corridors surpassing material place. Far safer of a midnight meeting external ghost than its interior confronting that cooler host. Far safer through an abbey gallop the stones a chase than unarmed one's a self-encounter. In lonesome place. Ourself behind ourself concealed should startle most. Assassin hidden our apartment, the horrors least. The body borrows a revolver, he bolts the door, or looking a superior specter. Or more.
There's a very real horror in the idea that the most terrifying ghosts and terrors reside within our own brains. Yet Dickinson never holds back. It is ourself behind ourself that should scare us the most. Most frightening of all is the rhyming spondee at the end of the poem, or more. The R sounds add a dark, ominous quality. It causes us to fear for that poor body and its useless revolver. The specter he is defending himself against is not only superior, but clearly not alone. There are very probably more. While it may be that Dickinson wrote this for the goosebump thrill of the gothic writing she enjoyed, such as Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights, I find it likely that she really did find her mind to be haunted. But while many of us ignore or can easily divert and suppress our inner demons, and while some poor few of us fall victim to them, Dickinson never gave up her inner explorations. Her poetry is often a traveler's report of her terrifying adventures within her own mind.
I have three questions.
Yes, Nikolai.
Who is the most important person? What is the best time to do things? And what is most important?
The most important person is always the one you are with. The right thing to do is always to do good for the one who is standing beside you. And the most important time is now. Wherever you are, whoever you are with, whatever you do, make a difference in the lives of those around you. The surest way to find oneself is to lose oneself in service to others. Remember these truths, and in every situation, you will know what to do. And remember, Nikolai, you are the last of a generation.
Once again, we return to the Radioptrix and the reluctantly convivial Dr. Gearhart, who continues to be fascinated by the young creative he has taken on as a guest, as they continue to regale one another with tales of their craft.
And so you see, all of it exists while none of it exists. Really intriguing stuff.
Creating a radio program isn't easy. It requires audacity. The radio medium is somewhat outdated, however. Why not simply be visible?
I have a face for radio. And anyways, radio signals are the only ones that seem to penetrate the ether successfully and make it to the other side of the singularity. Next to that, we have Smitty.
Ah, yes, he was invited too. Did you not bring him?
Well, it wasn't possible for him to leave the station. He, like yourself, is something of an enigma.
I'm most interested to meet him.
He meant no offense. In fact, he'd like very much for you to come to the station soon and visit us. I suppose that, in a sense, he and I have a relationship similar to yours with the Radioptrix.
Interesting. I must admit that I was quite curious about your occupation and the locale from which it is performed. What does your work entail?
Well, I suppose you could say we manufacture realities.
World building?
Not in the literal sense. See, we create stories, skits, music, and the like to create events from the past that never actually took place. The same with our present and future. We've sort of taken all the tenses and mixed them up to create a history of humanity and the planet that never was.
And what exactly was your aim in this?
Partly to amuse ourselves, my associates and I, but mainly it's a way of keeping another race of beings confused and safely at a distance. You see, our radio signals manage to somehow travel through a wormhole and get intercepted at the other end by an alien race not unlike humanity.
And what precisely does that mean?
Well, they're scientifically minded and apt to exploration, but not so advanced as to be beyond violent expansion. As a means of souring their interest in the Earth, we've taken it upon ourselves to confuse them as much as possible, taking time, breaking it apart, and reassembling it as we see fit. That's where the idea of the Timesmith comes from. The idea of taking time to a forge and bending it and beating it into a shape we desire before sending it off to confuse this distant race of people, jumping from genre to genre and period to period. So that's what we do. Distort time, manipulate it. Something similar to what you do, Doctor, as I understand.
Ah, you refer to the viewing chamber. Probably my crowning achievement.
How exactly does the chamber work?
Time is an interesting thing. Imagine being able to bend it, to fold it, shape it like origami. The time-warping mechanics are a secret, of course, but in short, the chamber achieves its effect by creating a temporal bubble within the compartment that speeds or slows time as required. While time continues at its set rate, time inside is shifted so that hours pass in seconds or vice versa. Applied to the ship itself, such a technology allows the Radiopteryx to move forward or backward through history, passing hours in seconds and years in minutes. In this way, I have been able to procure oddities and relics from the ages. But, of course, we have a limited quantity of power to utilize for such excursions, and so they are not frequent.
That's incredible. But isn't such power dangerous, Doctor? I mean, if you were to run into yourself, wouldn't that jeopardize your existence?
Nonsense. Look, there's someone I'd like you to meet.
Oh, Doctor?
Yes, what is it, old fellow? I would just like to introduce Mr. Edison Spaeth. He's a visitor from space.
Oh, splendid. But there's a coup in Antwerp, and I really must be going. I pilfered some of your 8mm film stock, old fellow. It's for the cause.
Very well.
Excellent. I'll see you Saturday evening?
Of course. You have some money to win back from me in Euchre. I do love him.
Wait a minute. Isn't that a time paradox or something?
It's quite an enjoyable evening is what it is.
Does the other Gerhardt have a creepy clown and all traveling with him too?
Oh no, you needn't be worried. He is attended by a sidling mannequin and a silent kabuki actress.
Any more G&G? Better. Where's the viewing chamber?
In the laboratory, as I like to refer to it. That's where the audio alchemy that is broadcasting is performed. Of course, this time bending we do, this mental manipulation, is nothing new. It's a kind of propaganda, controlling people's perceptions of what is going on in the world and who's involved and what's happened and where. It's been done for years. With the advent of newspapers and radio, it became even more prevalent. But it lacks the thrill, the honesty, of seeing something real made right before your eyes. Vaudeville, for instance.
You know vaudeville?
My boy, I have been there. Such an outpouring of creativity and skill all in one place. To have such an experience and be able to lock it away in your mind and take it home with you. And to have so many experiences coalescing in your memory to sift through in the years to come. Surely you are familiar with the concept, sifting through the mental minutiae events from the wormhole, a rushing torrent of thoughts and ideas being at once fed by the mind and serving as its tributary.
In a way, yes. But in the end, it's the effort and contribution of many that allows something like this to exist at all. We're not all geniuses, you know? But it does mean a lot of time with only ideas and recordings. I know what it's like to spend long stretches manning a solitary outpost, having only your thoughts to keep you company. Do you get, well, lonely at times up here by yourself?
On the contrary. Silence and solitude are two of my most cherished companions. Unfortunately, that is a philosophy that has been forgotten by a rapidly changing world. I weep for humanity, Edison, and the old ways. Hic manebimus optime.
Carthago delenda est, Doctor.
Now you must excuse me. A man like me has his fingers in a great many pies and quite a number of plates to keep spinning. As I'm sure you yourself do.
Yeah, I suppose I ought to get back to the satellite.
Do you need transport? My attendants can convey you.
No. I mean, no thank you. I have a wooden shoe parked outside that will serve.
An odd conveyance. Mr. Vincent Price arrived in a golden one last week.
The Jute. His has a nook. It's like a spoiler for shoes. Hey, there's an idea. Have him get you some bikini robots to replace the clown and doll.
Don't think I haven't thought about it.
Doctor, it's been my deepest pleasure to meet you.
I'm certain. Safe journey, Junior. And, be sure to stop by for Euchre in a film some night.
Your very worst, I hope. So long.
Here we are now, some years after. You and me. And funny laughter. Don't be scared. It's only dark. Soon you'll hear a meadowlark. Don't give up. Just one more try. Rainbow. Through the sky. See us in our upper limbos, peeking through the blinds on windows. Down below, and far as wide is, Slink is kissing old King Midas. Silly birds, should know better. Tell each hero, go and get her. Lady Luck's the one they're after. Now, and also ever after. Gosh, what color? Gee, she's crying. Fortune teller, are you lying? Do you see the noses growing? Wonder where the truth is going.
Someday I wish on a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you.
The War of the Worlds was a broadcast we did based on H.G. Wells' story of the invasion of the world by the Martians. Dabbling in science fiction, we made a special effort to make our show as realistic as possible. That is, we reproduced all the radio effects. We did on the show exactly what would have happened if the world had been invaded. I suppose we had it coming to us because, in fact, we weren't as innocent as we meant to be. We were fed up with the way in which everything that came over this new magic box, the radio, was being swallowed. People, you know, do suspect what they read in the newspapers and what people tell them, but when the radio came, and I suppose now television, anything that came through that new machine was believed. So in a way, our broadcast was an assault on the credibility of that machine. We wanted people to understand that they shouldn't take any opinion predigested, and they shouldn't swallow everything that came through the tap. During the years that have gone by since then, I've heard a number of stories about the things that happened, and I still meet people who've had experiences, bitter or otherwise, as a result of our little experiment in broadcasting.
Thank you.
We left you a can of peas and a $5 bill on the counter. Love you. Bye.
Please listen to some skits we prepared for you while we fix the situation.
The love of Field and Poppins.
Cut.
Buy it now for $1.99.
What you choose to write?
That was tonight's story of
we have to hide the box, otherwise she eats them all.
We got
here
yesterday
and got waiting all night.
Jesus, I'm making this.